Chapter 5. The Tools. First things first, Robert thought. Before he could build the better motorbike, he needed the tools to do so. His brother used to always say, "If you have the tools, you have the talent." But he suspected he stole that line from Ghostbusters, one of their favorite movies. Robert didn't have the money for an expensive tool set, and the only one he knew who had the right tools for the job was his father. The only problem was he would never let Robert borrow his precious tools. Stan was a man who valued two things most of all: his prized tools and his alone time. Lately, he had plenty of the latter now that his so-called favorite son had passed, and he had little time for his younger one. Stan would spend hours fixing various gadgets with those tools in his blue-tinted man cave. In a way, they were closer to him than his own family. Robert often wondered about the secrets only those tools knew, and despite how he was treated, he also felt a little sorry for his dad, thinking that tinkering with his tools in Danny's old bedroom was the only way he knew how to mourn. Robert wasn't too proud of having to snatch his father's toolbox, but he didn't see any other way around it. If he wanted to make his dream come true and scale that mountain, he was going to have to make some sacrifices, including compromising his own personal morals. Robert knew how important those tools were to his dad, so he needed to find the perfect window of time in which to swipe them. That opportunity arrived when Stan's favorite quiz game show came on at 7 o'clock at night. His father would normally break a six-pack open, and though guzzling enough beer throughout the half-hour program to drown a rat, still managed to answer most of the show's questions correctly. Robert often thought his father, armed with a wealth of arcane knowledge and blessed with handyman skills, could have been a genius inventor, if only he applied himself. But family life and general laziness had destroyed any ambitions he may have once had in his youth. As soon as he saw his father plop down on the bed in his room and turn on the TV just a minute before 7 p.m., Robert made his move. He heard the first can of beer pop open and fizz as he crept into his dad's man cave down the hall. The dark blue room was an inventor's mad design. Long steel shelves lined three of the four bare walls, each with multiple drawers filled with assorted electronic parts. To Robert and his mom, they were simply junk, but to his father, they were priceless. He was still trying to build the better mousetrap, which was part of Robert's inspiration earlier that day in the cafeteria. A long black desk stood guard in front of the last wall, and behind that desk was Stan's secret stash. It's where he kept the toolbox with his most important tools. Stan didn't think anyone else knew the location, but it was an open secret in the family. He would tinker in that room so often, usually half drunk or at least a little buzzed, that he would forget to close the door behind him, so Robert and his mom could see exactly where he kept that box. Not wanting to draw attention to himself, Robert purposefully didn't put the light on in the room. He knew he wasn't supposed to be there, so he wanted to get in and out in as smooth an operation as possible. Robert softly crept to the large desk in the back of the room and angled his long, bony arm behind it at a crooked angle to blindly find the handle on top of the toolbox in the dark. After a few false grasps, he managed to find it and confidently pull the box out from behind the desk. Robert hadn't realized how heavy it was and almost dropped it as the box cleared the top of the desk, but he managed to bring it under control by hugging it tightly to his chest. All safe. Robert wiped his sweaty brow with the back of his unused hand when he heard from behind.
"What are you doing here?"
Robert spun around suspiciously with the toolbox in his hand to lock eyes with his father, who stood under the door's arch and filled the frame. Robert reasoned he must have resembled the robber at the bank, with his hand in the cookie jar. He was never good at metaphors. Robert surmised that his dad was already half drunk and clearly not in the cheeriest of moods. "So much for my window of time," he thought. He had forgotten about the commercials. Robert stared at the aluminum beer can still clutched in his father's hand, as Stan, in turn, stared at his treasured toolbox in his son's hand. After a quarter of a minute, Stan impatiently repeated his question, this time more firmly, as he stepped aggressively into the room.
"I asked what the hell you're doing in here, Robert."
Stan tended to swear when he drank.
"I need to borrow your toolbox," Robert meekly answered.
"Then why didn't you just ask me for it?"
Putting on a brave face, Robert said,
"'Cause I knew you wouldn't let me." His father took another long slug from his can, wiped his mouth, and replied,
"You're damn right about that. Now put it back."
Desperate, Robert succumbed to bargaining. "But you don't understand, Dad," he began, his nervous voice becoming louder and more panicky with each word as he fumbled with a makeshift explanation. "I need to fix up my bike and do what Danny never could. I need to scale Danger Peak once and for all." His father smarted like he was punched in the face.
"Why the hell would you want to do that? It's what got Danny killed."
"I want to do it to make him proud," Robert answered. When he realized that excuse wasn't good enough, he added, "to make you proud."
"Well, you're sure off to a great start,"
his dad sarcastically spat, still glaring at the toolbox in Robert's hand. He shook his head solemnly and then softly said, almost to himself,
"Danny would never do this."
Robert winced, as if his father had just lashed him across the face with his belt. Sensing this, Stan felt a twinge of sympathy.
"You're a good kid, Robert. Why are you doing this?"
"Because it's my dream to climb that mountain."
Robert was stammering now, almost like a little child. Shifting gears and somewhat recognizing a bit of Robert in himself, Stan softened his approach.
"I had dreams once too, kid,"
he said wistfully while adjusting his blocky glasses.
"I wanted to be a fighter pilot for the Air Force, but my vision, or lack thereof, it kept me out. But I've no regrets. Your mother often reminds me that if I had achieved my dream, I could have been shot down behind enemy lines. Then I wouldn't have gone on to marry her, and you wouldn't have been born."
"Yeah," Robert added, "and Danny wouldn't have been born either, only to die 17 years later."
"Don't talk like that."
"Well, it's true."
"Be thankful for the 17 years you had with him."
12 years, Robert abruptly corrected. "I wasn't alive for the first 5 years of his life."
"Don't be a smartass," Stan replied. "You know what I mean."
Robert gazed downward, a little embarrassed.
"Look," Stan continued, "I know it's hard, son, but you can't keep dwelling on the past. It's not healthy to..."
Before he could finish, Robert started for the door, but his father stopped him with a strong grip on his shoulder. Robert peered up, tears welling in his eyes, and Stan decided to let him go.
"You take what you need from my box,"
he generously offered,
"and no more than that. And you finish up this little project of yours. Fix up your bike if you want to. But you're not taking it up that godforsaken mountain. Do you understand me?"
"Yes, sir," Robert quietly replied. Though his father's ears detected a mocking tone, Robert moved past his father and out the door. Down the hall, Stan could hear Robert's bedroom door slam shut. Standing by himself, he gazed across his lonely, tiny room until his weary eyes settled on a photo of happier times, taped to his work desk. Danny holding up his first place ribbon at the school science fair.